What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just want to let you know there will not be a show on Monday because I will be in Six Flags San Antonio because it's a day off of work and I'm going to go have fun. So there will not be a show on Monday, but I will be back next Friday to discuss the full slate of NFL action that will be happening. We got college football starting this weekend and NFL football starting next Wednesday. So how fucking awesome is that? We're going to be talking football. Now, not a lot of the standout college football matchups this weekend, so I'm not going to really talk about it this week. But excited that it's finally getting underway and we finally can talk about football. But let's get into the week of baseball. We had a hell of a series between the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers this week. So let's start it off on Monday's game between the Cubs and the Brewers. The Cubs kicked the Brewers' ass 17-3. As a matter of fact, the Cubs had 9 home runs in this one. And Alex Bregman had 3 of them with 4 RBI. Bregman has been on fire, y'all. This last month, the dude has had 33 RBI. Like, how insane is that? He is getting hot. And this guy is a vet. He's won a couple World Series before with the Astros. So this is a guy who knows what he's doing at this time of the season. So, and this Cubs team, they are just on fire. And I mean, to rock the world of the Brewers this week, and that's what they did. This is one of the craziest matchups. I mean, the Brewers have a really solid lead, so I expect them to still keep the division, but still, it does not matter. This Chicago Cubs team, you cannot look past because they are playing excellent baseball up against a really damn good Brewers team. Then on Tuesday, the Brewers took down the Cubs 9-4. Christian Yelich, he had a home run in the 6th inning, which basically blew the doors open because this was a back-and-forth affair for the most part. It was tied at that point, and then Yelich hit the home run in the 6th inning, and they never looked back. William Contreras and Ortiz as well, they both had some big plays towards the end of the game to widen the gap for the Brewers in that one. Then also on Tuesday, the Philadelphia Phillies got a win over the Arizona Diamondbacks 7-1. That was actually their 6th win in a row. And Jesus Luzardo, he pitched a gem. He went 6.2 innings with 6 strikeouts. And then Bryce Harper, he has also been a guy who's been on fire this whole season, really. He went 4-for-4 with an RBI. And this Phillies team is another team where I look at like the Cubs, where it's like, man, these two teams are getting really hot. The National League is going to be an intense playoff battle. I can guarantee it. Then we had the St. Louis Cardinals take down the Los Angeles Dodgers 13-8. Segazy had 2 home runs, 3 RBI, and then Jordan Walker also had a home run and 2 RBI in this one. And, I mean, the Cardinals took it to the Dodgers this week. I mean, the Dodgers are starting to fall apart right now. This is not the time of season that we're used to seeing them fall apart, even though still don't overlook the Dodgers because they have a lot of depth. This last month of baseball has not been good for the Dodgers, and the Cardinals have took advantage this week. Then on Wednesday, the Atlanta Braves got a win over the Washington Nationals 9-0. But that wasn't really the big deal. It was Ronald Acuna Jr. He hit a home run in this one, and it was his 200th career home run. And he is the fastest player in Major League Baseball history to have 200 career home runs and 200 stolen bases at this point in his career. And that says a lot because the dude has missed significant time due to injuries over the past few seasons. I mean, he's had a couple of ACL injuries and other injuries that have kept him out for good chunks of the season. And I mean, to still be as productive as he's been and to get to 200 home runs and 200 stolen bases quicker than anybody still, imagine what would have happened had he not got injured. I mean, he probably would have done this a couple years ago, but even so, Ronald Acuna Jr., he's playing great baseball, and so are the Atlanta Braves right now. Then also on Wednesday, the Brewers took down the Chicago Cubs 9-5. Jackson Chourio, he's another guy who's starting to get hot here towards the end of the season. He went 4-for-6 with a home run. And then, like I said, Alex Bregman, he had another home run in this one, 4 RBI as well. The guy has been on fire. It is crazy to see because he started the season off ice cold, and he just has really busted it open this past month of baseball. And it's just crazy, even though they lost this one, but still, and this one, Jacob Mizorowski actually pitched in that one, and he got blown up in this one. It was actually the most earned runs he's ever had in one game so far in his career, in his short career. But you know, he's usually not getting blown up, and in this one he did. But the Milwaukee Brewers offense was able to step it up and get them the win in this one. Then also on Wednesday, the St. Louis Cardinals got the win over the Los Angeles Dodgers, 8-6 in the 10th inning. Segese actually had the game-winning single in this one. He went 2-for-4 with a home run and 3 RBI. And like I said, not a good showing from the Dodgers. I mean, it was a close back-and-forth deal here, but I mean, that's kind of been the theme for the Dodgers the last couple of weeks. They've had some really close battles, and they keep losing these close battles. So pretty interesting to see. Like I keep saying, don't write them off just yet, but you don't want to be heading into the playoffs playing this terribly as the Dodgers are. And then also to round out this intense series between the Cubs and the Brewers, they played again yesterday, but this time the Cubs got the win 2-1. Kevin Gausman, he has been money since they traded for him at the trade deadline. He went 7 innings pitched with 9 strikeouts. And then, of course, PCA had a home run in this one. He was basically the deciding factor in this one with that home run, really to kind of just bust it open for the Cubs, and they really never looked back in that one. So let's recap where we're at with the baseball standings and how things look right now headed towards the playoffs. So let's start with the American League right now. If the playoffs were to start today, the number one overall seed would be the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now they have a 3-game lead over the New York Yankees in the American League East Division. Then in the American League Central, the Chicago White Sox, they have a 3-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians. And the number three seed would be the Houston Astros. They hold currently a 2-game lead over the Texas Rangers in the American League West. And then the wild card spots right now are the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the Cleveland Guardians, with the Texas Rangers, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Baltimore Orioles all on the outside looking in. Then at the National League, number one overall seed right now would be the Milwaukee Brewers, who have an 8-game lead over the Cubs. So like I said, even though that series was really a really solid series for the Cubs, they still have a huge hill to climb, and I just kind of feel like I don't really see the Brewers really falling back and giving them the division, even though they still have a shot, but eight games is pretty far out. Then the number two overall seed right now, holding the tiebreaker, is the Atlanta Braves. They actually have a 4-game lead right now over the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League East. And then the number three overall seed would be the Dodgers. Right now they hold a 9.5-game lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks in the West. So obviously the Dodgers have that division on lockdown. And then right now the National League wildcard teams look like the Philadelphia Phillies, the Chicago Cubs, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, with the San Diego Padres, Miami Marlins, and the St. Louis Cardinals on the outside looking in. So that's how the playoffs look today. Like I said, I kind of feel like all the divisions are pretty much set. I don't really see the Yankees making a big run and overtaking the Rays. The White Sox have held it down for quite some time, so I don't really see them falling back. And like I continue to say about the Astros, they've proven what they could do at this time of year. I'm going to take them over the Rangers any day of the week. And then when you look at the National League, obviously, like I said, the Brewers have a huge lead right now over the Cubs, so I don't really see that happening. The Braves, they've held it down, even though the Phillies are a really good team, and I kind of feel like out of all the divisions, they're the only one who could potentially overtake it, but I just kind of feel like the Braves have had the lead. They've had too much of a lead for the entire season. I just don't really see them falling back. And then, of course, like I said, the Dodgers, they easily are going to win their division. And so moving on to basketball, we had some basketball news this week. The NBA has finally completed their investigation on the Los Angeles Clippers, and they're actually going to punish them. Now, I think it was, 2 weeks ago when I was talking about this, and it looked like they weren't going to really do anything until there was kind of pushback from certain reporters kind of talking about what was going on and how obvious it is that the Clippers really did violate the rules. And so the NBA has decided to really literally lay the hammer down on the Clippers. They are going to miss the next 5 years of their first round picks. They will owe $30 million. Their owner, Steve Ballmer, he has been suspended for a year. Basically means he's not even allowed to really go watch games or have anything to do with the organization for the next year. And then, of course, what's kind of hilarious is, you know, Kawhi Leonard, he got paid in all of this. He only has a $700,000 fine. That's really it. And the trade is still on to the Raptors. And so what's kind of hilarious about this is it's like Kawhi Leonard literally just kamikaze bombed the fuck out of this Los Angeles Clippers organization. And it makes me laugh because, I'm a Lakers fan, so I hate the Clippers. I think they're stupid as fuck. And they've always been a hilarious organization who's never been able to put anything together. But just to see this happen, and Kawhi literally, his agent, he's suspended for, he's never going to be able to work in the NBA ever again. So he got suspended for life. And then the Clippers organization is basically going to have to pay for all the issues, as they should. But it's just hilarious because, you know, Kawhi Leonard came to the Clippers and he was going to change the organization. And guess what? It turns out it is literally like one of the worst deals in sports history of all time. I mean, they made the playoffs, but they were one and done teams in the couple of years they made the playoffs. He was injured for the majority of his time that he was signed with the Clippers. This team was really never a competitive team. They were never really a good team, and they've pretty much always been a laughingstock. I mean, Chris Paul, he actually just was doing an interview earlier today or yesterday. I was just reading it earlier, and him talking about what a joke the Clippers organization has always been, and he was with the Clippers, and he talked about what a joke they were. And then, of course, you know, even before this, you know, the reason why Ballmer was even able to own this team is because they were put up for sale from the last stupid idiot owner who was a piece of shit. So it's just kind of hilarious that this continuously happens to the Clippers, and yet they never win. They never do anything. It's just always a joke, and that's what they always will remain. And now Kawhi Leonard, you know, the trade hasn't been finalized. It hasn't really happened just yet. But basically, he's going to be going to the Raptors, and the Clippers are pretty much just fucked, and it's hilarious. So, ha ha ha, have fun, Los Angeles Clippers. So yeah, that's how that went, and that's what they get. So let's move on to the last bit of NFL season predictions that I have for the NFC South and the AFC South divisions. I saved the worst for last. I will be doing my playoff and Super Bowl predictions next Friday's show. So you will find out who I have predicted to win it all this season. But, you know, the two South divisions are terrible. I kind of feel like they have the majority of the crappy teams, and then they have a couple of teams who could potentially take these divisions just because there really isn't a lot of competition in the division. So let's start off with the NFC South and who I think is going to win the NFC South. And I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning with a 10-7 record. I mean, Baker Mayfield, he's heading into a contract year. This is his last under contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I kind of feel like he's going to show out no matter what. I mean, he's always going to show out, but I feel like he's going to be playing with an extra little bit of oomph so he could get a little bit of more money next year because it definitely matters what he does this year, even though I always expect him to go out and have a great year regardless. But with a new contract on the line, he's definitely going to show out, and I just kind of feel like it's going to be a big year for him. They do have a healthy Chris Godwin coming back at injury. Now, they did lose Mike Evans in the offseason, but I don't really think that's as big of a deal as you would think. Evans has been injured the last couple of seasons anyways, and they do have some new young guys who have been on the come up who have some real good chemistry with Baker. So I kind of feel like offensively they're going to be a really solid team. And then you turn to the defensive side of the ball, which they've always been good at. Vita Vea is all locked in for this year, so I kind of, you know, there's the dude in the middle, and then I just kind of feel like the rest of the team, this is not a good division either. I feel like the rest of the defense is going to step it up, and they're just going to do just enough to win this division. I don't think they're going to be one of the standout NFC teams, but I definitely think they're going to win this division. Then finishing in second place in the NFC South, I have the Carolina Panthers. I have them tying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a 10-7 record, but I just have the Buccaneers edging them because I just think the Buccaneers are a more reliable team. But with that being said, I wouldn't be shocked, actually, if the Carolina Panthers actually have a pretty decent year. They do have some questions at the running back position because they did let Rico Dowdle go, and he was a huge part of their offense toward the end of the last season, especially last year. So I think that's going to take away a little bit, but they do have some pretty solid receivers. And also, I think what they're really going to be led by is their defense. They have a really young, fast, stout defense that really held it down last year. I think they're only going to get better this year. And I just think the offense is going to do just enough to not to actually be a pretty decent team this year. I don't think they're going to set the league on fire either. But like I said, I kind of feel like it's going to be a battle between them and the Buccaneers for the division. And I just have the Bucs edging the Panthers simply because I think the Buccaneers have a little bit better roster than the Panthers do. But I would not be shocked, actually, if the Panthers ended up winning this division. Finishing in third place in the NFC South at the Atlanta Falcons, I have them going 5-12. Pretty much their only good player on their roster is Bijan Robinson. So I expect him to have a good year, of course, because the ball is going to be going to him completely. They have a terrible roster overall. It doesn't matter who starts at quarterback for them this year. Tua Tagovailoa sucks, so I don't expect him to really, if he does start, I don't expect it to be for long. And Michael Penix Jr., while he's the better quarterback, they really don't have much talent offensively other than Bijan Robinson. They don't have a lot going on at wide receiver other than Drake London, and their defense is terrible. So I just kind of look at the Falcons as going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. And then rounding out the NFC South, they have the New Orleans Saints going 4-13. Just to me, this team didn't get better at all. They have no talent other than Alvin Kamara, and he's injured right now. They don't even know if he's going to be playing week one. And even if he does play week one, he's not going to carry this team to really a whole lot of wins. They're not really talented on the defensive side of the ball. They're not really talented on the offensive side of the ball. And like I said, they didn't do anything to improve the roster from last year, so I don't really expect this team to do a whole lot of anything this year. And then moving on to the AFC South. Winning the AFC South, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have them coming in at 10-7. They don't really have any standout wide receivers, so that's going to be interesting to see if they're able to overcome that. Because, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he's a good quarterback, but he hasn't really shown that he can really carry this team as he was expected to do when he's picked number one overall with them. I've seen improvement with him, but I can't say he's like that dude who's going to completely take over a game. But maybe he will. But I just kind of feel like this is a team that's going to be more led by their defense. They have a really talented, strong, stout defense that I just think is really young, really good, with a lot of good players on it. They were one of the top turnover teams last year, and they're also in a terrible division. So I just kind of feel like they're going to easily dominate this division, easily get some good wins, but not really be a major standout team. And then you also look at it, it's the Jaguars. Do any of us really trust them? I even was, when I was going over the division, kind of who I thought was going to win, I was like, do I really trust the stupid-ass Jaguars? Not really, but I kind of feel like out of all the teams in this division, they have the best overall team. Finishing in second place in the AFC South, I have the Houston Texans. I have them coming in at 10-7, just because I feel like they're going to get some wins because they are in a terrible division. But I kind of feel like they're going to be one of those 500 teams for the most part. They don't have a lot of talent offensively. And, you know, I just don't know how they are at quarterback. I just don't think he can really carry the team with as little offensive talent as they have. They don't really have a lot going on with the offensive line either. Now, defensively, they're great. I love what I see from them defensively, which is another reason why I think they're going to get some good quality wins and be kept in reach of games. It's just, I really do question a lot about the offensive side of the ball. They didn't really add a whole lot. They did add David Montgomery, but he's more of a red zone type of guy, so it's not like he's going to be one of those dudes who's breaking off really like 30-yard runs. And a good chunk of their receivers are already injured. They already have dudes who are going to be missing the entire season. They already have a couple of guys who are going to be missing at least the first month of the season. And they did make a trade for Kayshon Boutte from the Patriots, but I don't think he's going to be any type of like game changing dude. So I just kind of look at the Texans as being mostly 500 for the most part, but getting some wins and staying kind of within the wild card distance, just because they have a great defense. I mean, Will Anderson Jr. is a beast at the defensive end position, and they've got some really solid linebackers and a great secondary, but I just don't know how that's going to do with not a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And like I said, I don't really believe in CJ Stroud a lot. To me, he's kind of like Trevor Lawrence, where it's like he hasn't really proven he's going to be that guy who takes over the game just by himself, like a Patrick Mahomes would. And then in finishing in third place in the AFC South, I have the Indianapolis Colts. I have them coming in at 7-10. I mean, really, other than Jonathan Taylor, what does this team have going on? I mean, I know they want to kind of be act like Daniel Jones is going to be this savior to this team, but I really doubt it. They have a terrible defense, and they just don't have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball other than Jonathan Taylor. And that's about all I have with the Colts. They really aren't a good team, really not much going on, and I just think they're going to be kind of one of those teams that's there, but we don't really care about. And then rounding out the AFC South, I have the Tennessee Titans. I have them going 2-15 simply because this team sucks. They have no standouts. They have nothing good going on here, and I just think this team's going to be terrible. So that's all there is to it. So nothing else needs to be said about the crappy-ass Titans. So that's how I feel the NFC South and AFC South divisions are going to turn out. Like I said, I will make my Super Bowl predictions on next Friday's show because there will not be a show on Monday. So enjoy the weekend of college football and then enjoy the week of sports because we've got NFL starting on Wednesday this year. Then we have a Thursday game in Australia. And then next weekend, it's all football. All fucking weekend long. So get ready for it, y'all. Enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools next Friday.